What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Something About Sports podcast. This is your host once again, Leon Edwards. This is yet another championship episode. I'm getting used to this. I'm getting a little spoiled, actually. I mean, my teams are just on runs right now. But, man, this is going to be a fun one to talk about. There's been so much buildup. There's been so much ado about this matchup, about this game, about the quarterbacks, so much buildup, and for it to come out in the Chiefs' favor, for the game to go the way it did, just fun, amazing. Really don't even know how to explain it. I'm still kind of on a high from it. I'm super hype about it. I already know this is probably going to be the hypest episode I ever record of this podcast, because there's so many things about this game that just amped me up as a Chiefs fan. Not only for 2 weeks in the Super Bowl of this season, but for the future of this franchise and where we're going here in the near future and in the long-term future as well. This was a game. This was fun. This was amazing. The main storyline of this game is going to be Mahomes. Everybody's going to talk about Mahomes because this was a legacy builder. This was a game that, you know, I won't say he needed, because I personally, and I talked about this before the game, I personally felt like Mahomes was valid regardless, best quarterback in the game. But to the general public now, Patrick Mahomes has separated himself. Like, we are not in an era of two guys. Like, we're in the Mahomes era now. Nobody can say anything else about that from here on out. And I think that'll be the biggest talking point of this game. I don't even think Patrick Mahomes was the MVP of this team, and not even necessarily the reason the team won. Of course, he's the most important player. If he doesn't play, you probably don't beat this team. He had a crazy great performance on one leg. The MVP went out there and did what an MVP does. Probably like 95% of quarterbacks in the NFL, and maybe even a higher percentage than that, are not playing in this game. And I don't think people understand that, because of how tough and how strong of a body Patrick Mahomes has. I think people are discounting what he was actually out there doing. And you can see him being mobile. You can see him on the move a little bit, manipulating the pocket still as he likes to do. But there was a lot less of the special Mahomes runs, a lot less of those special moments of extending drives until, you know, that last one, the one that mattered the most, that got the penalty tacked on and all of that. I'll get into the penalties and stuff later. But for Mahomes, you know, it was just more of a good football game. He played a good, clean football game, went out there, did what he needed to do, but you didn't get the spectacular moments. You didn't get that MVP-type moment from Mahomes in this game, other than that late play, you know, other than that run down the stretch. But he was clearly not 100%. He clearly, you know, was in some pain, especially when trying to plant off that foot. There were some throws you could even see him not wanting to plant back down on that foot, or hopping on a foot to kind of slow his momentum down just to not put too much weight on it. So that ankle was bothering him. And I think it's crazy that there are some people out there trying to say they're downplaying this injury or he's not actually hurt. I just don't understand why something like that, why that would be rigged. Like, why would there be a conspiracy about an injury? I just don't think that matters. I mean, say what you want about the NFL being rigged, whatever. That at least is more realistic to me than faking an injury. I just think that's just not even – it doesn't benefit anyone. It doesn't really go in anybody's favor at all. So the guy's hurt, and he has a high ankle sprain. He has an injury that most guys would miss 4 to 6 weeks with. 4 to 6 weeks with, and he did nothing but go out there and win an AFC championship game, out-dueling a guy who everybody's been saying was better than him on one leg. So Patrick Mahomes, legacy-building game. All of the conversations are over. I don't care what happens in the Super Bowl. The conversations are over. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL by a wide margin. And at this point, when we're talking quarterback conversations in the NFL, just start with number two, whether you think it's Burrow or Allen or Herbert or Hurts or whoever your two is. Start with them and compare them to each other. Mahomes, change the conversation to the guys throughout history until somebody else catches up. Nobody else is there with him. Nobody else can compare to him. And now it's clear. You know, nobody else even has a claim to really having anything going, you know, in this AFC. And you got to just be so excited as a Chiefs fan. Everybody talked about the contract. Everybody talked about not having Tyreek Hill. There's going to be the refs angle and the new NFL Golden Boy thing and all of that stuff. That'll come this time because it will never end in Patrick Mahomes' career. Chiefs fans, that's something that we need to know. That's something that we have to recognize. That's something that we have to go ahead and just roll with. It's never going away. They're going to continue to try to find ways to discredit him. No matter what those things are going to be, they'll come out throughout the time Patrick Mahomes is here. And we just got to roll with those punches. But some of the stuff that this guy's had to deal with and not respond and be quiet about and take in stride, I mean, it's getting kind of ridiculous, honestly. And at some point, you know, it's got to be frustrating for everyone involved. And you kind of saw that boil over after the game a little bit, you know, with Travis Kelce having his things to say, you know, and kind of saying the things that Mahomes would have had every right to say. And he didn't. And people still find reasons to hate this guy and dislike him. And at this point, I've come to the acceptance that that's just going to be the reality. People just don't like people that win a lot. And he's going to keep winning. People are going to keep disliking him. But this right here, we're going to look back on this game at the end of his career. It's going to be one of those big moments, especially if the Chiefs go ahead and finish off this Super Bowl. We'll talk about the Super Bowl later in the week. But especially if the Chiefs go ahead and finish off this Super Bowl, this is something that is going to be talked about as a huge moment in Mahomes' career in this era of the NFL and in NFL history in general, because he's not going to be 100% in the Super Bowl either. But to overcome, you know, that monkey on your back, that was slaying a demon with all of the other things that happened. That's something else that's going to affect my assessment of this game as well. A lot of people are discrediting, you know, some of the things that went on around Patrick Mahomes with the weapons and people getting injured and all of that stuff. And I'm going to touch on that, but I just wanted to go ahead and get the Mahomes angle out of the way. We can't go too far without talking about it, because everything that the Chiefs do throughout his career, every game, every matchup with the quarterback, every Super Bowl appearance, it's really building up that legacy of this guy who's going to become the face of our franchise. So everything's going to kind of start in with that guy's legacy, kind of how it has with the Patriots. I'm already just accepting that. I'm going to be a bitter Mahomes guy when the next dude comes around that everybody is saying is better than him, because I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm not going to watch this dude carry my city for 15 years and be like, yeah, this next dude that's coming in way better, throwing for 7,000 yards in our 19-game season, whatever the case, you know, I'm going to be defending Mahomes. I'm going to be the same kind of guy. So that's always going to be one of the main talking points, especially when we get this deep in the season, is that legacy and where these things place Mahomes and, you know, kind of what that status is for him as the top player and the top quarterback in the league. But I want to talk about the full team, because there was a lot of things that went on offensively that I want to highlight. But how about that defense? The Chiefs defense. I'm banging on the table, because this Chiefs defense has been a much maligned unit, a talking point. So many things, man. Just, it's crazy. It's crazy that this defense stepped up the way that they did. They got pressure. They looked the way that they've been looking. I mean, this defense has consistently gotten pressure. They've gotten after other teams' quarterbacks, and they did that. Chris Jones, I was a week too early on my prediction, but guess what? He got a sack for each one of the games we've played so far in the playoffs. The dude, I mean, he might just go ahead and be the defensive player of the year. I mean, his impact on these football games, it seems like it's continued to grow as the season has gone on. I don't know if you could impact the game more than Chris Jones has in a lot of these games this year. These two games that he's had in the playoffs cannot be overstated. He's been the best defensive player on the field in both of them. He's that good. He's that good. I put a tweet out a couple of weeks ago. This was Chris Jones' second season with 15 and a half sacks in his career. Aaron Donald only has one of those. Aaron Donald has a way higher ceiling season, but he's only got one season where he's actually hit that number. Chris Jones is now at two of them. Chris Jones is now at three Super Bowl appearances, potentially two Super Bowl rings. And we talk about Aaron Donald, first ballot Hall of Famer because of the defensive player of the years. This is now Chris Jones' second defensive player of the year caliber season. He's actually being recognized as a finalist. There's going to be some conversation starting here over these next few years about Chris Jones, especially if he sticks around, which I hope he does, and the Chiefs make a couple of more runs here, which I also think happens, he's going to be getting talked about for one of those gold jackets and another one of those guys that'll just be one of the guys we remember as faces of this era of Chiefs football. But the defense as a whole, Frank Clark, another guy who's much maligned, including by me. I said it on Twitter. I've said it everywhere. The guy's earned every single penny he's made in Kansas City. He just knows he knows how to get himself ready, and he knows what's at stake when this time of the year comes. I talked about it a lot on the last episode, so I won't harp on it too much here. But Frank Clark, another big-time game. The whole defensive line, big-time game. Joe Cullen, shout out to him. What a year he's had as the defensive line coach. What a product he's put out there. So just insane game from them, especially when you consider the fact that you lost LeJarius Sneed after a few snaps. You lost Willie Gay down the stretch of the game. You had guys banged up. So you're playing with rookies out there. These guys are playing. You got Brian Cook, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, all these guys playing. Oh, Trent McDuffie, of course, our star rookie corner. That's your defensive backfield with Juan Thornhill out there, a third-year guy. That's what you got out there. And Justin Reed, of course, mixing in as well. But, I mean, you got super-duper young corners out there, rookies. All three of those guys I named are rookies, making a big impact and continuing to help this Chiefs defense be successful. I mean, to give up 20 points to that offense with those injuries that I just talked about, it's nothing short of remarkable. It's a full-team effort, and it just shows you – it speaks to not only – the quality of these guys and the quality of players that Brett Veach went and found, but also the quality of this culture and what these other guys are doing to get them up to speed. You can tell that the vets are invested in these guys because they've continued to grow. They've continued to improve. You look on the offensive side of the football with Isaiah Pacheco and Sky Moore the same way. I'll get to those guys a little bit too, but Isaiah Pacheco and Sky Moore learning under these guys, you can see the growth. You can see the progression. And this defense just went out and won the Chiefs a football game. And it was fully highlighted by Chris Jones' second sack, where he basically ends the game for the Bengals and gets the ball back for us. And I couldn't go into too much more about the offense without talking about the defense, because this was just as much a credit to this defense as it was anyone else. Because there are some other things I want to talk about offensively and, you know, with the injuries and Patrick Mahomes, kind of some of the things the Chiefs did, all that stuff. But, yeah, I just wanted to make sure the defense got a shout out. I'm sure I mentioned all the names. Nick Bolton, of course, Nick Bolton, Willie Gay made a play as well. Like I said, Derek Nnadi got in there. George Karloftis got in there. I mean, just shout out to the whole unit. What a team effort. You can't overstate a lot of this stuff with the injuries, with the youth. These guys went out there and won a football game, you know, and did it in a gritty way with your quarterback injured, with your offense sputtering at times throughout the football game. Not only did you keep them in it, but you made plays to win it, forced two turnovers, you know, big time plays by rookies. Just you can't really, you know, I don't even know how to explain that. It's just it feels almost unreal. It feels like the tide is blowing something being in for the Chiefs. And I don't want to be the super hyperbolic fan, because it's probably going to start sounding like that, because I've already talked about me thinking that Bill Self's best is still yet to come as a Kansas basketball fan. But now for the Chiefs, you look at this season, you look at cutting money. You're trying to cut back on the payroll. You got to trade Tyreek Hill. You got to get younger. You're playing a lot more younger guys. You're still trying to figure out this whole contract situation with Orlando Brown, you know, and you're looking at a somewhat of a rebuilding year. A lot of fans talked about that. We talked about this team taking a step back this year. And this is a team that we're looking at in the Super Bowl. And not only that, but the entire full margins of this roster were stretched. And every fiber of this team was needed. And here they sit in the Super Bowl. We're talking about Marcus Kemp. Marcus Kemp has been around for a long time in Kansas City, around the Kansas City organization. We know him. We've loved him. We've wanted him to play more at times. But this is a guy who has 24 career tackles, 4 career catches coming into that game yesterday, and he's playing almost the entire second half as one of the main receivers against a fully healthy Bengals defense for the most part. You know, I mean, it's nothing short of remarkable. It's fun to talk about, but those kind of things, those point to you that it's not just about these great players. It wasn't just about Tyreek Hill, and it's not just about Chris Jones or Travis Kelce or whoever else. It's about that guy quarterback, and it's about what they've built in that building, the guy with the headset. Andy Reid has built something special here. He knows how to win at this level. He's found the right guys to permeate that through the locker room, and now they have built something special that you see it. These guys walk into this place and start to drip excellence. Kadarius Toney had never scored an NFL touchdown. He became a touchdown magnet while he was healthy for the Chiefs. These are just things that you don't see on a regular basis and you haven't really seen since when. I don't want to say we're the new evil empire, but because we're going to do it a lot differently, and I know that the Chiefs have a lot more personality, a lot more small city swagger, not the big city, you know, swagger, but the small city swagger that the Chiefs have. So it's not the same as the Patriots, but you haven't seen something like that since the Patriots, you know, where a guy like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, got people in Green Bay this morning are just kicking themselves. Not only did they miss the playoffs, but they're watching this guy be the number one receiver for Patrick Mahomes going to the Super Bowl. He played in two NFC championship games with Aaron Rodgers and just couldn't get anything going. I mean, this is uncanny. It's just not something that we see on a regular basis, and we need to talk about it, and we need to make sure we're acknowledging it and enjoying it as fans. This is a full team effort. 100% of that team was tested, even down to some of the players, some players who have had bad moments, who have been talked about in a bad light, even just this year. Frank Clark's one of them. Sky Moore, as a punt returner, has the biggest punt return of the season for the Chiefs. You know, Joshua Williams, the guy who went from being really loved coming out of camp to having a tough stretch in the middle of the season to coming back and getting an interception in this game. It's just Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a guy who all season I've been underwhelmed with. I've wished we could have gotten more out of him. It seemed like he came here to do more and be more to the offense, and we hadn't really seen it. But for him to step up when he had to and be that guy in this game, in that moment, is huge. And he took that. He's waving for the football. He knows he's got to be that guy, and he took that on. And you love to see it. You love to see that. It was a full team effort. I don't even know. I can't say that enough. Everybody on this team mattered. Everybody on this team did something. Like I said before, you're running with guys who started out as special teamers for the game as your running back, as your wide receivers to end the game. Noah Gray's out there running routes just about every play to end the game, you know. And then we got the officiating. I'll get into that too, the officiating. So there was some questionable things going on with the officiating, but I think that the officiating was bad both ways. Will I say that if somebody wants to say the Chiefs got the out-of-bounds call or whatever, the out-of-bounds call to me was the right call. I think in every situation, though, the NFL should call that. The issue is that every situation doesn't have that call. The holdings, I always kind of go back and forth on those as a moot point unless one team is being flagged way more than another team for it. And in this case, the Chiefs weren't the Bengals weren't flagged for holding a significant more times than the Chiefs. So I kind of call the holding in just about every game a moot point. And I think sometimes going to that is weird because you kind of go look at these, you see these still shots online and you see these pictures that people take, and it's not really showing the whole play. It's not really showing what either player tried to do in those scenarios. And sometimes it's misleading on what really holding is and isn't in the NFL. So that's always, I feel like that always generally comes out moot. Missed calls are the ones that I think are always that always get talked about the most because you just never know what could have happened if the call was made. In this case, the biggest one people are talking about is the block in the back on the punt return. I guess since there were two Chiefs players there, would anybody have been mad if the referees called that? Probably not. I mean, the fans in the stadium would have been mad because it was a great return. But for one, Sky Moore didn't even have the ball. And for two, I just didn't really think it affected the play that much. And also, you know, if you call that, that doesn't automatically mean the game's just over. Same thing as with the push out of bounds. I mean, just because he added the 15 yards didn't automatically win the game. Number one, you got to go make the field goal. And I can't believe I didn't mention him. Harrison Butker. Harrison Butker was one of those other guys, man, all season. We've been up and down on that dude. He's had a lot of struggles. He's had a lot of stuff going on. Up and down all year. Biggest game of the season. He's knocking in every field goal, including the game winner. Just stone cold and big time for the Chiefs. It was great to see him respond as well. But anyways, you still had to make that kick. And even if you get out there, you still had just picked up a first down. The clock was stopped and you had another chance to maybe get another chunk or so anyway. So who's to say you don't get another playoff and get the ball out of bounds anyways? Either way, people are going to talk about it. People are going to say that the NFL is rigged. Me as a Chiefs fan and seeing how many times we've been screwed over the years and had all kind of crazy stuff happen to us, not only in the playoffs, but in regular season games that ended up helping other teams get in the playoffs or get to places. I don't see why the NFL would care enough about Kansas City in a small market to get them there. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is good for the league, but he'd be a lot better for the league in a bigger city. So, which is what Tom Brady was. Tom Brady was in a bigger city. So I don't know. I guess for me, maybe it's just me being a jaded fan, because I did feel like there were times where Tom Brady got help as well from the NFL. And the Patriots got help as well from the NFL. So there could be something to that. I'm not going to automatically discredit it, but I'm also not going to take any wins that we get out of it with a grain of salt, because the Bengals had every chance to win this game. I mean, to really honestly, for Bengals fans to come out of this game talking about officiating, it's really kind of sore losing if we want to be honest about it. You think about how many players they lost. The Chiefs lost number one receiver, number two receiver, number three receiver that finished the game. Well, actually, Mecole Hardman didn't finish the game, but he came into the game injured. Travis Kelce came into the game injured. You lost number one cornerback, your best cover linebacker. You lost Juju, too. I forgot. Yeah, you lost Juju Smith-Schuster. You lost so many pieces. The Bengals lost Tyler Boyd in this game, but they still have two electric wide receivers. They still have everything they needed, really, to get this done. And especially for a team that talked as much and carried themselves the way that they did, for the circumstances to be what they are and for the score to have been what it was. The Chiefs won that game with 23 points. If you would have told me the Chiefs scored 23 points going into that game, I would have picked us to lose. 100% would have picked the Chiefs loss. Wouldn't have thought it was enough. So regardless, whatever you want to say about the officiating, this was a 3-point football game in which everything else went against the Chiefs. Their quarterback came in injured. You lost multiple players to injury during the game, not just players, but top players and offensive players. You lost weapons. Patrick Mahomes came in with his whole complement of weapons and left playing with practice squad guys out there. So I don't know. I guess for me, that's a tough thing to accept from at least the Bengals, to say that you're cheating there when at the end of the day, man, you had every opportunity to win this football game. Every opportunity. Everything was lined up for you to go do it, and they just couldn't get it done. The Chiefs did. The Chiefs held serve. The Chiefs stepped up when they needed to, and they got it done. So at the end of the day, though, we can't control that narrative. We can't control the officiating. Nobody's going to ever convince people who think that the NFL is rigged that it's not. Nobody's ever going to convince people who think that the Chiefs are cheaters that they're not cheaters. So at this point, you just keep enjoying the victories, because they'll keep winning. I mean, at the end of the day, we'll keep winning. Patrick Mahomes is here. Andy Reid's here. We'll keep winning. So we'll just keep enjoying the victories. I wanted to double down a little bit and talk about that trash talk from the Bengals, though. That'll be one of my last things I want to talk about. I didn't get as hype. I've had a couple days, I guess, to cool down and think about some of this stuff and get randomly hype around the house or whatever about some of this stuff and rewatching the game, too. I got a chance to rewatch it a couple of times so I could watch it hype again and then kind of calm down and watch it and relax, see what happened a little bit. But, the trash talk from Cincinnati. I'm one of those people, I love sports trash talk. I love the back and forth. I love when people don't like each other publicly going into athletic events. But what I didn't like about this situation was just how overboard it went. Like, I understood the Bengals were 3-0 against the Chiefs. If you want to say your team is better, by all means. But you won two of those games at home. and you're renaming the other stadium. All of them were one possession games where two of them you had to make crazy big comebacks. And the third one, you really only won because the other team fumbled about to score on you to go up two scores in the fourth quarter. So there was just the, I guess the noise didn't actually match what we were seeing, what I personally was seeing on the field. And I've said this already. I've talked about this before. The noise didn't match it. And then for the game to go the way it did, for the Chiefs to lose the players they lost, for the Chiefs not to really score that many points, for there not to be a high-flying game, that's the type of game you would expect a team that came in talking like that and seeming like they would be the tough team to win. That's one of those teams. And so I think now that happened, because not only did you have the players doing the Burrowhead thing and you have the trash talk coming from the players, but then you got the mayor coming out and saying Burrow's Mahomes' dad and all of this. Just weird stuff. You know, stuff like that just doesn't happen to other people. Patrick Mahomes is like this guy that everybody feels like they can do that stuff to because he doesn't respond. And for whatever reason, people still find reasons to hate the guy. But I feel like for me, this game felt so much better as a Chiefs fan. And it felt like a fresh start. This game felt like a fresh start into the new era of Chiefs football. I already felt like this season was going to be that. And I've talked about that a couple of times already this year, that this season felt like that already. This is a new era we've kind of moved into. You know, we've moved past Tyreek Hill. We're kind of starting a new regime with that, a new wide receiver core. Patrick Mahomes is going to have to be a little bit more responsible for some of the things that go on with the offense and all of those things. And then you see what happens in that game where you have this rival that you have to overcome. You have all these injuries and players have to continue to step up. You go out there and win that game, you know, without being able to just say, F it, Tyreek's down there. You don't have that. And you still go win the game. It just feels like you're starting something new, especially when you talk about your entire secondary rookies for the game. All of those things, man, just you got young players. You got star players. You got the best player. It's just it feels like the Chiefs have something bubbling with these young players that's going to combine with the rest of what they were building. And we got a run coming here for the Chiefs because this is a very, very young football team. And but also experienced. It's a unique position to be in. It's a young football team, but very experienced. And they're going to have these guys that are learning now, the Sky Moores and the George Karloftises and the Trent McDuffies, they're going to be that next wave. They're going to move into being those Frank Clarks and Chris Joneses and Tyrann Mathews and L'Jarius Sneeds, you know, and Travis Kelce's. Those guys are going to continue to pass that down under Andy Reid. So this is something that's going to be fun to watch. But I just felt like that trash talk, I felt like the trash talk reached a insanely high level for a team that hadn't really done anything, especially the fact that they went and lost the Super Bowl last year. So it was good for the Chiefs to not only win that game, but I also feel like going forward, it'll probably make other teams think twice about it because the Chiefs were clearly pissed off at it. I mean, it wasn't even 5 minutes after the game ended. Tracy Wilson is talking to Patrick Mahomes on the field and Travis Kelce's coming over his shoulder. Burrowhead my ass. This is Mahomes' house. You know, it's been eating away at him. He couldn't wait to get it out. Then he gets on the stage and he calls out the mayor and all of that. Then you got Mahomes' dad with the cigar, his funny video. This meant something to the Chiefs for sure. And this will probably be a lesson to some other teams, you know. Don't piss them off because the Chiefs right now are as close as you're going to get to a dynasty. And I think that you could call the Chiefs an AFC dynasty at the very least right now. With this second Super Bowl, I'm ready to call them a real dynasty, an NFL dynasty. But at the very least, this is an AFC dynasty. Everybody that wants to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC has had to come to Kansas City for 5 years in a row. And in three of those years, you've gone to the Super Bowl. That's nothing short of a dynasty. And in all of those years, you've won your division. You've barely even lost any games in your division. I mean, and you've been the one seed in just about all of them. So this is as close as you're going to get to a dynasty in a conference as you're ever going to see. he's only two behind conference championship games. It's than Tom Brady at home. He's played in five of them, all five at home. So two more of them, he's already tied with Tom Brady for home championship games. So those kind of things, you know, that stuff adds up. That stuff means a little bit more. And now we're going to see the Chiefs reclaim their place, their rightful place, big dogs of the AFC for another year, regardless of what happens in this Super Bowl. And who knows who's next? You've had the Bills had a run there where we thought it was going to be the Bills. The Texans had a little life when they had us down 24-0. The Titans have had a little bit of a run here and there built in with Derrick Henry and stuff. And then it was the Bengals. And the Bengals fell short. Once the Bengals got their chance, they fell short in the Super Bowl, got another shot at it, couldn't get it done. Now we'll see who's next. I think the Jaguars are coming soon. That would be my guess. I'm still weary of the Chargers. I don't know how it's going to look, but I wouldn't doubt seeing Justin Herbert at some point soon in the playoffs for sure. So who knows? Who knows what it's going to look like going forward? But one thing we do know, the Kansas City Chiefs are the kings of the AFC. Unquestionably, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the league. Unquestionably. I've said this on the podcast, so I can say it again. Travis Kelce is the best tight end of all time. People won't agree yet. It'll take some time to get there, but that's coming as well. And then we got Chris Jones, who just as easily could be the defensive player of the year this year. This is an all-time great team. This is an all-time great run. This is just something that doesn't come around often, and I'm just happy to be able to see it. And I'm happy to be young enough to celebrate it in a fun way, too. That's been great. As you guys can hear, I was already losing my voice before the game, but I didn't do anything to save it during the game. So here we are with that as well. I didn't get as hype as I thought I would, and I didn't even go into some of the X's and O's stuff that I wanted to talk about just because it's just fun talking about this game. And a lot of this stuff still has me speechless. I don't even know if I've fully processed a lot of it yet, of what this means for the Chiefs, what this means for the AFC going forward, with the Chiefs having 12 draft picks and one of the biggest, some of the most cap space in the NFL this year. What does that mean for the rest of the AFC? Because to me, it looks like they're in trouble. So there's a lot of other things that we get to talk about. The Bengals, so much more to be talked about with the Bengals, with the trash talk and stuff. But I just wanted to get on here, talk about what I was excited about from this game, man. This game excited me. I don't think I said Isaiah Pacheco's name. Let me shout him out. I'm trying to go through names in my head right now. Guys, I didn't shout out that deserve it as well, which is everybody. They were on the 53 for that game. They deserve it because they had to play a role in this. This team was thinned out, and they thinned out quickly. It happened quick in the game, too. So it was good to see everybody step up. Isaiah Pacheco's having a hell of a playoff run. These rookies aren't rookies anymore. We heard Tony Romo say it, but that's really true. These guys are vets now. I mean, they've played enough football. They've been in these moments. And now they've made plays in these moments. So those little cobwebs and those jitters are gone. Isaiah Pacheco is showing that. So that's been exciting for sure. I'm trying to think of anybody else. I think, offensive line. Did I say anything about the offensive line? Man, this is why I need to make notes. I don't like making notes because I feel like you guys get a more genuine feel. And I get to just kind of talk about the stuff that I'm feeling. But sometimes I forget stuff like talking about the offensive line and how great of a game they played. And there was a couple of times where I was watching and I saw Joe Tooney recover or slip off a double team and catch a guy who had gotten free multiple times in this game. And it was just like a out loud response, like, ooh. And I think that these guys were locked in and ready to protect Mahomes. Of course, Mahomes is going to be Mahomes. He had plays where he had to get things manipulated. And he also was out there playing with guys he hadn't really played with a lot. And talking about Sky Moore, who hasn't played a whole lot of snaps this season. And talking about Marcus Kemp, who's been on the practice squad all year and is basically a special teamer now to the Chiefs. So having those guys out there, of course, that took more time to try to get things open, to try to figure things out as well. But the offensive line was outstanding. They protected him exactly how you wanted them to. He had clean pockets. He could make good decisions. So shout out to them. Shout out to everybody. They galvanized and they stepped up around Mahomes. And that was the biggest thing I talked about. That's what I thought would happen. they knew it was their turn. Patrick Mahomes has carried this team in so many games, in so many moments, and they knew it was their time. They knew it was their turn to return the favor, and everybody did just that. So the offensive line, shout out to all of you guys, Orlando Brown, Joe Tooney, I shouted him out individually, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith looked like he had gotten banged up a little bit. I hope he's healthy. Andrew Wiley had a critical holding penalty, and people wanted another one on that last play, but shout out to him that it didn't end up hurting the team. Andrew Wiley's been a lot more solid than I think people want to give credit for. He hasn't been great this year, but he hasn't been as bad and brutal as we talk about, as like we talk about him at times. So shout out to him too. Shout out to these guys. What a great, great, great game. I know I'm going to come on here and do a Super Bowl preview. I'm going to have multiple pieces of content between this, but I'm going to do a Super Bowl preview and have like a whole bunch of stuff that I forgot. So I guarantee you guys, my next episode, I'll write notes. I'll have stuff to talk about and line it out a little bit better because I missed stuff talking about this and I didn't get into the X's and O's, but I want to save that a little bit because I think I want to talk about how that's going to affect the Eagles game or if it will at all. And that'll probably take another watch of the game. So I want to watch it again and see kind of personnel wise, when things change, what was happening, stuff like that, and actually pay attention to it a little bit more. So I'll bring that to the next one. I did have a couple of things, but we'll chat with that sometime later this week or next week. We got a couple weeks now. I'm going to actually I have two written pieces that I've been working on that I'll be putting out here over the next couple of weeks, two leading up to the Super Bowl. So we're going to do some fun stuff. I appreciate you guys so much for listening. Go Chiefs. Man, I feel good about that Bengals win. That Bengals one was the one we needed to feel, you know, to kind of get that monkey off the back and feel like this thing is rolling again like we know it's been. We know the Chiefs are the team of the league, but we needed that one. We needed to get that one off our backs, and it was good to do. Felt great. Fun game to watch. Fun atmosphere. You could hear it through Arrowhead. Shout out to everybody that went out there and braved the cold and helped the team out. You guys definitely made a difference for sure. I could hear it through the TV. So just I appreciate you guys for listening. We'll be back here soon. I'm tuned in to KUK State tonight. I'm probably not putting a preview out of that one, though. I'm too locked in on the Chiefs. I can't stop watching Chiefs content. I can't stop, you know, digesting that. And I also was out of town a little bit for the Kentucky game, so I haven't gotten to rewatch the whole thing either. So that's another reason why I'll just chat. We'll chop it up about the last few games for KU here soon. But be on the lookout for the rest of the Chiefs stuff. Be on the lookout for the rest of the written content as well. Thank you guys again for listening, and until next time.